Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
CBG.
Morning, Tom. Give me some good news today.
Man, I really wish I could. We've got broken bolts and dryer cans, there are stuck studs in the pump housing, and to top it off, now they've broken a drill bit trying to get an alignment pin out. I think it's safe to say that the more we work, the farther we get behind.
So, Tom, are you doing this the old-fashioned way just for fun?
What do you mean?
Broken bolts, studs, drill bits, alignment pins, keys. CBG metal disintegration and stud removal can fix all those problems. CBG takes broken and stuck metal out of everything. Heck, they work on submarines, aircraft carriers, power plants, oil refineries, even a one-of-a-kind Ferrari engine, and have removed hundreds of dryer can bolts all over the U.S. I saw on CBGmaintenance.com they took out a 9/64-inch drill bit and removed 2.5-inch studs at a power plant.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. Can you give me that website address again?
It's CBGmaintenance.com. Bookmark the site and give them a call today. CBGmaintenance.com.
This is Nip Impressions for the week of the 11th of July, 2016. The title, The Source of Regulations. Last week, I gave you my definition of regulations. Quotes, regulations are imposed by those who have artificially gained power on those who own assets. End quotes. I would like to spend this column discussing those who have artificially gained power. There are three groups that come to mind when I think of those who have artificially gained power. They are environmental NGOs, lawyers, and governments. Let's take these on one at a time. Nearly 25 years ago, when I started my consulting practice, I thought an important service I could offer the industry was to work with it on their public relations with local communities. What I quickly found out was that the industry was not interested in working with their local communities. They would rather fight in court in those days. What small efforts the pulp and paper mills were expending were laughable. For instance, I remember putting on a seminar where I actually got some mill people to show up to talk about the subject. Most of the time, I talked to empty rooms in those days. In this seminar was a young pulp and paper engineer who handled environmental issues in his mill. Management had put a direct telephone line on his desk and published the number in the local community. The idea was if anyone in the community smelled, heard, or saw anything, they could call that number and he would give them an explanation. So I asked him what he would do if I lived in the community, smelled a chlorine smell, then called the number. In a very loud, lucid, and clear manner, he gave me an absolutely perfect scientific and textbook answer as to what he would say. I gave him a failing grade on the spot.
And now let's pause a moment for this message.
Oh, sorry about that. You know, my wife told me that if she ever heard a toilet flushing in the background again, she would hang up on me. That's a bad habit I had formed. Checking into a hotel room, calling my wife, and doing other essential tasks. You know, multitasking. Hi, this is Jim Thompson here. One of our advertisers has told us they used to advertise in a certain print magazine because they always found copies of that magazine in paper mill bathrooms. We pointed out to them that if you're advertising with Paparitala Publications, you can be found anywhere. For instance, right on the paper machine floor. Or at the ball game. Or in the backyard on a Saturday afternoon. Or at a wild papermaker's party. Or on your nightstand right before you go to bed. Where can prospects find your advertising? If they have a phone, tablet, or computer, they can find it anywhere as long as you are advertising with Paparitalo Publications. Go with the winner.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the conclusion of this week's column.
He was shocked. I explained to him that the average person in the community never heard anything he said after he said, quotes, the odor is likely a whiff of chlorine, end quotes. All that happened after that is they freaked out and thought they were going to die or their future grandchildren would have three noses, and if that wasn't bad enough, not all of them would be on their head. No one had trained this young engineer as to what to say in various scenarios. This was typical of the industry's reaction to community relations in those days. The typical reaction of the person who made the phone call was likely as follows. If they read an article in a newspaper or saw news stories on television showing an environmental NGO such as Greenpeace, the World Wildlife Fund, or others protesting at some manufacturing facility anywhere in the world, they would nod their head knowingly. If a lawyer sent them a letter asking them to join a class action suit against the local mill for some allegedly bad thing the mill had done, they sent their affirmative response back the next day. So this is the way the environmental NGOs have gained traction. The ignorance of the local population to scientific matters has made it easy to raise concerns and money to fight big business. Another long-term trend has helped too. An agrarian population is far smarter when it comes to dealing with chemicals and other potential hazards than is an urban population. If you think about it, all manufacturing had its origins as extensions of agrarian activities. For instance, soap was made in a kettle over an open fire long before it became a manufacturing business. As businesses were formed from nascent processes on the farm, they moved to urban areas and brought the people with them. Succeeding generations of city dwellers were further and further isolated from the farming roots and, shall we say, farming chemistry. Generations lost their familiarity with common processes, in fact became fearful of them as they continued to dwell and raise succeeding generations in the protected cocoons of the city. This is how environmental NGOs gain power, exploiting this ignorance. Lawyers in recent decades have perfected the art of the class action suit. This is another way to monetize the ignorance of the layperson far removed from the processes of our industry and others. FUD, that is fear, uncertainty, and doubt, one of the most effective sales tools ever invented, plays well into the class action lawyer's skill set. And the fact that you don't have to put up any money, just get on a list containing enough potential litigants to convince a judge there is a case, and the lawyer is in business. Finally, the actions of the environmental NGOs and lawyers give politicians a reason to be elected. Yes, politicians use FUD as well. Once elected, they can influence matters on a federal, state, and local government level to the point that regulations come out the other end. Regulations are a two-edged sword for the politicians. Having a track record of producing regulations that, quote, bring those mean old industries in line, quote, is good for re-election campaigns. Along with regulations come fines for non-compliance, yet another source of revenue for governments. The ultimate culmination of all three of these entities' efforts, at least to this point in time, is the concept of global warming. I can assure you at least half the readership of this column will be defensive of the global warming movement and its objectives. I will submit the science has been so obfuscated and otherwise distorted that in a world of purely scientific reasoning, it would be extremely difficult to discern a sane scientific prediction as to the existence or of the effects of what is labeled as global warming. What is for sure is there are winners and losers as the initiatives play out. Whether the winners deserve to win and the losers deserve to lose is anyone's guess. Yet this process has produced mounds of regulations and other actions, deserved and undeserved, as they are served on the owners of assets. Can you think of any source of regulations I have missed? Take our quiz online this week. As I said last week, some regulations, particularly as they relate to safety, are very good. They can save you and your coworkers' lives. Follow them. Be safe, and we will talk next week.
Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually voiced by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2016, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.